Willkommen, meine Damen und Herren, bei Storybreak, ein Podcast, in dem drei Hollywood-Profis eine Stunde Zeit haben, aus einer bescheidenen Idee, einen großartigen Film zu machen. Ich bin ein Filmregisseur, Freddy Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm very impressed by Freddy's German.
I took it for a little bit, and it might not be perfectly accurate because I'm just cranking off a Google Translate.
I was at Google Translate German?
But he's saying it with a good accent.
I did take German.
Yeah.
You said it very convincingly.
No, I did not. I got okay on it. Who am I talking to?
I'm Matt Arnold. Hey. I'm a freedom-loving American first and foremost and a writer-director second.
You know what my favorite thing about film school about World War II was?
What was your favorite thing
was
about
they kind of went out of their way to be like, did you know that there were Hollywood directors who went to World War II to make movies? You guys aren't in a frivolous career. I remember being like, yeah, but there was also guys who, like, fought World War II, too, you know what I mean? But they definitely kind of inflated how much it was, like, what was it, like, Howard Hawks was there, right?
Or in what?
World War II?
There's a bunch of directors bunch that of went directors. And did, like, actual filming on, like, D-Day and shit.
Yeah. Spielberg did Saving Private Ryan. Christopher Nolan did Dunkirk.
This week, we have a World War II-themed idea cooked up. Tell us the story of how you cooked this one up, Will. This is a Will Campos original.
This is a Will Campos joint. I was on vacation. I don't know. It just kind of fell into my head. It was essentially the idea was we were...
the muses spoke to you, I see.
I was finally away from you two and all of your nonsense for, you know, enough time to get just a second to myself to think.
Just
and then
a breath of fresh air.
This idea blossomed in my brain where I was like, someone was talking about this. Someone was like, it was like I was having an ethical debate with my dad about who knows what. But at some point, one of us was like, well, but if you went back in time to kill Hitler as a seven-year-old, would you do it, right?
As a seven-year-old?
But so then, or someone said something. Like, or was kill Hitler as a baby, and then like it just the,
oh
it,
I see yeah
it jumped into my head. I was like, wouldn't it be funny if they send this time traveling warrior back in time to kill Hitler as a 7-year-old, but something goes wrong, and when he comes back in time, he is himself a 7-year-old, and Hitler is at the height of his powers,
but with his current brain.
He's a grizzled time traveling assassin who's traveled back in time to kill Hitler as a 7-year-old, but the idiot in IT who set up the time machine,
like, he got one
goofed
variable
it up,
wrong,
and then when he power slammed butt naked down onto the streets of 1939 Berlin, he realized he was a 7-year-old and Hitler was at, you know, the height of his power.
I feel like there's a new sort of time travel mechanic because he travels back in time, but somehow he himself...
Well, no, here's what it is.
Because he wasn't 7 years old when Hitler was.
No, but here's what
it is. So it's like his body
unless that's
rewound time by like 20%. And then the rest of the world went by 1,000%.
It would be they'd be like targeting the parameters, and then the code jockey who's sitting there doing it types in age equals 7, but he does a double equal sign.
No, you see what I'm saying is that like it's like his body time travels in a different amount of time.
I mean, unless you could do it, like if you were to set it in like a pulpy Wolfenstein era alternate 70s, it could be that they sent him back in time to when he was 7 instead of when Hitler was 7. And it just turns out that when he was 7 was when Hitler was 40 or whatever.
Right? Oh, I see.
Do you know what I mean? Like you could just, if it's simpler to do it that way.
No, because it's definitely more fun if it's like somebody our age in today just goes back and they're 7 years old in Hitler time, right? I don't know if you want this to be a period film in like 1970. When they go back 30 years to kill Hitler.
Well, we're not spending much time in the 70s or whatever, right?
That's true.
We're getting right into...
But so anyway, then...
Well, no, because that would be different because he, as you said, Terminator slams down.
That was, to me, the trailer moment, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like your record scratch moment is like, we're sending you back in time to kill Hitler as a 7-year-old. And they're like, let's do it. And he's like jacking the machine.
As a 7-year-old.
And then the guys put, yeah. And then
in putting parameters, kill Hitler as a 7-year-old.
And then, yes, he's putting in the thing and then he hits enter. And then the guy like sparks and zaps and then he crash lands in back in time. And then he, you know, shows up and he himself is a 7-year-old.
Okay.
And he's like, oh shit, I'm a little kid.
I think that is how it works. Because, yeah, it is... Man, time travel. Because even if what we were talking about, even if it was like in the 70s, when you travel back in time, you don't de-age. You would just show up to when you're 70. You could go find your 7-year-old self. So this is like, this is new. This is going to be, there's Back to the Future and Terminator-style time travel now.
Maybe is it like an ironic genie wish? Do you know? Because it's almost essentially, the premise is like an ironic genie
wish.
Like,
the
like
idea,
you told the monkey's
no, it
paw.
Should be,
I like the idea that
it's
the future,
U.S. military.
Yes,
it
the
is
future
like,
tech is just like staffed by a bunch of idiots. And they can't help him, right? It's like, it's him being like, so what, you know, so anyway. Let's just dive into it.
Okay.
Because I think, like, for example, like, I think the joke would be, like, for example, he finds, like, Like, there's some caves, right, where you hear about these. I think I talked to you about this. We talked a little bit about this one. But the idea, like, there's cave paintings you find sometimes, right, where they're like even Werner Herzog did that documentary, right, where it's like these cave paintings have been around since forever. So he's using, like, one of these caves to write messages to the future. But then the point is the future sucks and can't help him because they blew it so bad.
They beefed it real hard.
They beefed it so hard that they're like, yeah, sorry, we can't send anything back. So he's, like, you know, scrawling messages in the cave wall for his, you know, the future people to figure out, and they're just like, yeah, we can't send you any guns or whatever, right? Like, it's just a good obstacle for them.
Yeah, so again, like, to me, again, the concept here, the humor of it is like this. Again, it's a 7-year-old kid trying to infiltrate
who knows too much.
We started the clock, right?
Yeah. We're in. Okay. It's like Day of the Jackal meets Home Alone. Yeah. I mean, it's like imagine Kevin McAllister, but he's, you know, I think very much part of the conceit should be that he physically can't travel. He can't go back to his time until Hitler is dead. Like, I think you paint yourself into a corner where there's no, like, way to scrub this mission, right? Like, the only way you're going to get back to the present is by killing Hitler. What I think you could do is that if you stay back in time too long, like, you're this anomaly that history is going to, you're going to die, essentially. Do you know what I mean? Like,
here's what it is. If you stay back too long, a time anomaly is detected by us 300 years in the future, back when we perfected time traveling technology. That's why there's no time anomalies. That's why time travel exists and there's no time anomalies. Do you see what I'm saying?
I don't understand.
Because we get better at technology as time goes on, right? We can send people to the moon on our iPhones according to processing power side, right? Like, technology advances. So the point is, everyone's like, why? If there's time travel, there'd be time anomalies. So here's what happens. There are time anomalies, but it's just that 300 years later, when we're better at time travel, we go back and we fix them.
Yeah,
so if he screws up, assassins will come and take him out.
I have the end of the movie, okay. Which is he's about to kill Hitler. Like, he's just got him right when he's about to put the knife in. Boom, he gets zapped. He's like, what the hell? And he shows up, and yes, it's the year 2732 or whatever. And they're like, who the hell are you? They're like, hi, we're human beings. We have discovered time travel, and we figured out how to stop anomalies. You seem to be an anomaly. Can you tell us what was happening? And it starts explaining, he's like, oh, well, don't worry. Everything in this future is perfect. And they start going through this perfect world, and they're like, anyways, you should meet our leader. And it's Hitler. So not only did he fail to kill Hitler, but he changed the time stream enough, and then Hitler ruled the society. So now it's just an Aryan white society 700 years in the future, and he made it 100 times worse than it was. So it is that Nazis invented time travel in the year 2742.
And then, so it starts as in order to save the future, he has to kill the past. And then it becomes in order to save the past, he has to kill the future. Because he has to kill these guys in the future so they don't stop him from killing Hitler in the past.
Well, you get your sequel because you... Well, then you get your sequel because, like, oh, is he just going to give up? He's like, you know what? I might be 700 years too late, but I'm still going to kill Hitler.
This mission's
like, the next movie is like a freaking sci-fi revolution movie.
I mean, that could just be your fun, like, third act, like, finale, is that it's future, right? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's your end, is that, like, robo-Hitler, that you're right?
Okay, but just to clear, this is also, like, reverse Big. So it's a man.
Yes.
Shows up in Nazi Germany as a 7-year-old.
Correct.
With his man brain.
Yes, his big, except Tom Hanks has to kill Hitler.
At the height of, like, when was the point where they're like, the Nazis could win the war? I would say September 1942, according to this random person on a random website, which I'm pretty sure is a forum for a World War II video game, so this might not be the best resource.
The height of German occupied control was 42.
So yeah, so it's like he shows up like in the middle of 42.
Mm-hmm. My kind of immediate thought would be that the best way for a 7-year-old to kill Hitler would be to infiltrate the Hitler Youth, and then you would do the Hitler Youth has some sort of thing where they're gonna get to meet Hitler, right? Like, and the one who's the, like, you know, like the kid who gets whatever the Hitler Youth equivalent of the best grades
the
are,
gold star.
He gets the straight A's of the Hitler Youth. Then he gets, like, he's gonna get to meet Adolf Hitler, and then, you know, he's got a bomb, or he's got a, you know, a little. A BB gun or whatever he's going to use, and that's going to be his moment to strike. That was the first thought that leapt in my mind.
If he still has his man brain, is it almost too easy? Is it too easy for him to essentially trick a bunch of other 7-year-olds?
Well, so to be clear, Hitler Youth was a whole. It was like Boy Scouts. There's a whole range. There was teenagers.
Yeah, I know,
but
they weren't. They weren't. I mean, it's like
he can trick a bunch of 7-year-olds. But what the fuck can 7-year-olds do? That's the challenge.
They're just a smaller person.
Well, him, but the rest of them aren't gonna...
The biggest handicap for a 7-year-old is their non-man brain. And now we're giving a 7-year-old the man
brain. The
greatest
power. That's true.
And I should clarify, man brain being an adult male, not that man brain is better than woman brain. That's not what
it's adult saying. Brain.
Adult brain.
Do you,
non-gender
so
specific.
So I want to be clear that. Brain. So you think that if you... So that you, Matt Arnold, you think that if you went back to
yourself... If I just showed up in my 7-year-old body...
You'd rule the world.
I would rock middle school.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't be able to kill Hitler.
But, like... I would be better. I would have a better chance.
I think he's
getting
good
Hitler
grades
than a 7-year-old without my 7-year-old.
Well, obviously, no. But I would also say I would argue that a 7-year-old
has a better chance.
With a 7-year-old with a man brain has a better chance of killing Hitler than a man with a man brain.
Yes,
because the 7-year-old's got an advantage. He's got the 7-year-old with the man brain has the advantage.
Because Hitler's like, hey, let that 7-year-old in. He's got a boy brain, and little do they know, it's like, no, that 7-year-old's got a man brain. He's gonna trick me and kill me.
What if, okay, now here's the thing then. So then he needs obstacles. What if there's like some Nazi scientist who's like, this child is clearly something else, and he gets targeted as such, right?
I guess the other angle I was gonna get to. Hold on.
Just to speak to like Nazi ideology, obviously we don't endorse any of that stuff. Disclaimer, obviously.
What are you about to say?
No, but what do you have to disclaim? But the idea of like maybe this Nazi scientist looks at this kid and it's like, ah yes. This is the pinnacle of the Aryan race. Look at this 7-year-old with such intellect and such a bit, right?
They make super soldiers out of him. Because...
Right. Oh, here's what I like, is that I do like the stakes of this crazy Nazi scientist who's going like wants to dissect this kid or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like something is weird about this kid. By the way, just to be clear, I'm going to avoid my German accent for the course of this because I'll be in it too much.
Can I throw Zach before we decide that just really in case, there's also a version where you have the people in the future can somehow still communicate with him.
Right.
You know, like your mission control. Like he's got a time travel cell phone or whatever. You could also
I mean,
if we're in time travel, we can do time travel.
Yeah, true. We can do whatever we want.
You could also do that he just does appear with a 7-year-old brain. So you also have this kid who shows up as 7-year-old. He's like, where the hell am I? And then a device turns on. It's like, what's happened? What's happened, Sergeant? Whatever. He's like, hi, I'm 7. Where am I? He's like, you're here to kill Hitler. He's like, wait, what? And then that's the complication.
Hi, I'm 7. Where am I?
Who am I talking to? Where's my Game Boy?
7 is a hard
And they're like, I'm sorry
age.
To tell you, 1, where you are, there are no Game Boys. No. And 2, you have to kill Hitler.
What year is he from originally that a Game Boy is like
Switch.
On
his...
Well,
no,
to be fair, the Game Boy is going to be a perennial thing in the human history.
Where's my new Nintendo 2DS?
Okay, let's just settle. Does he have his boy brain or man brain?
I like the man brain.
Okay, he's got
man
brain.
Because I think the boy brain thing just takes too much. There's too much legwork to be like, make this kid believe it, and like the kid wouldn't want to.
I guess it's a little bit of the fun fish out of water, like him like realizing that he can't easily butt in with 7-year-olds because their form, like the way they talk and their social structure is so different. It's just like, okay, let's pick a name so we can.
Are we going with a guy for the? Because you could do a girl main character too in this scenario.
What was
like,
the deal with Hitler?
They had girl.
What was the deal with Hitler?
They had girl Hitlers.
Hitler Youth was a male. I mean, because
scripted all German youths. No, all German youths.
It was all German youths, but in terms of if you're going to do, I mean, in terms of the military, like.
But remember, they thought they were sending her back to when Hitler was 7.
Oh, it could be like.
So they were probably like, "Oh, we're gonna send you back. You're gonna infiltrate and become like
hospital.
Yeah,
the
wherever you know, like they need a new like wherever
maternity ward.
Yeah, like
you're saying a man can't work on a maternity ward.
I'm saying in the 30s in the turn of the century.
Okay,
it certainly was not considered man's
work. In that version. Yes, you could do girls. We have to embrace that. Like make that part of the.
What
thing.
If in the future the puny male brain can't handle the rigors of time travel? And only women can go back in time. The male brain gets lost in the space-time continuum, and then the male brain does not want to ask for directions.
Oh, man.
You stay around, we'll keep giving you 1990s stand-up jokes.
I say let's do it.
Okay, let's do
it. Let's try it out.
So here's what it is. It's the plan. The plan originally is like... Adolf had a cold and once in the hospital for a period of time when he was 7.
Adolf Hitler had a time where this is all alt history. I have no idea if this is true. Had a time where he was being babysat by their neighbors. And the neighbors were whatever, a group of girls, and this girl was going to come and infiltrate as one of the neighbors and go kill him.
Yeah, as a babysitter. Yeah.
That was the plan.
That was the plan.
But now she's a 7-year-old girl in 1942 and Hitler is Hitler.
And not 1924. Two typos that changed the world.
Oh no, she's 7 and I put her in 42 instead of 24. Who are you?
Okay, great. All right, so let's pick a name.
Madeline.
Oh, that's a good World War II style name.
World War II-esque.
Okay, her name's Madeline.
But what's her code name? Her German code name.
So she's working for what? The Time Squad? What is...
So, you know, what is she got? Like a Time Squad, like, badge or some shit? How's that work?
And why now?
Why now? We're fine. With all the problems in the world, they're like,
so the Time Squad's coming down, Mr. President, and they're going to talk about world hunger and Flint, Michigan still doesn't have water, and I'm pretty sure they're going to address one of those issues. Let's see what important topic of the day they're going to talk about. Like, here, Mr. President, we would like funding to go back in time and kill Hitler.
Maybe.
So why now? Because they'd be like, well,
first of all, the answer to I want to be clear. The answer to why now is very simple. Because time travel works now. Okay. That's it. Like, you're telling me the moment time travel works, the first thing that everybody is going to be asking about is like, yo, guys.
So the first thing that leapt to my mind would be that they actually invent, well, this is some pulpy sci-fi stuff. Yeah. We haven't gotten into this in a while. Would be that, like, they invent whatever our time gizmo is, right? Mm. And the time gizmo at first allows them to see into the future. And they see a future where Hitler's back and he's taking over everything. And the only way to stop this future from coming to pass is to kill Hitler back in the day.
So what you're saying is that it's like Hellboy-esque, where they find out in the future, like, Hitler did succeed in some sort of Cthulhu-esque thing. That it allows them to come back in the future.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's like...
Because I want to be clear, Will. Hitler did die.
Yeah.
I know, but did he?
I do like the idea that when they get time travel and they look into the future, which that's like a whole nother can of worms. That's his own movie. Being able to look into the future is a pretty good start to a movie. That presents its own problems. But they look into the future and like, yeah, this all looks pretty good. This is like, this technology wasn't really that worth it. It's, you know, it's fine. It doesn't change society at all. We can just look into the future. But wait a second. Here's a problem. Hitler's back.
All right. Hear me out.
Okay.
What if Hitler invented time travel during World War II?
Okay.
And but he never got to use it, right? Like, he was about to use it to do a mulligan on the war, and that was when everything went to hell, right? And then we got...
For him. For everyone else,
it was great.
Yeah.
The Allies found the time travel stuff and kept tinkering with it. Mm-hmm. And then they got it to work. And then they were like, oh no... This is all very, very bad. Time travel is a doomsday weapon that will destroy the world if we let... Time travel itself cannot be allowed to exist. Therefore, we need to send someone back in time before Hitler invented time travel to kill Hitler so time travel never exists.
Okay. The reason why now doesn't get answered right away because the person who's in charge of this time squad is actually part of Hitler's bloodline. This isn't actually to go back and kill Hitler. This is actually a plan to go back to get Hitler because Hitler was this close.
Technology
was this close to solving time travel. So for some reason, like the way she's going to go back in time.
Oh, it's a setup.
It's a setup.
And so at first you think it was a wacky accident.
Yes.
But really, he sent her back when Hitler was at the height of his power because in her brain is the key to the Nazis unlocking time travel. Yes, unlocking of time course.
Travel. It'd be one of those things where she's like hearing and then she like hears the Hitler's grandson's name or something. She's like, wait a second. And she realizes that Hitler's great-great-grandson was her boss. She's talking to.
Why doesn't she just kill him?
I don't know. It's confusing.
Man, time travel sucks.
Because she's down in the 40s. She can't.
How? What do we get bogged down on? What's the why now? Was that Matt's question?
Matt asked a time-based question in a time travel movie.
Yeah.
Why now? A time-based question.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. Here. I'm sitting down in the theater. It is. We're saying it's. I'm just trying to make this a real movie. I'm just trying to figure out what's happening when I sit down. Is it 1970 or is it 2024? And they're like, okay, here's the military. And it's like, what are they doing? They're going to go kill Hitler.
I mean, just there's some MacGuffin thing. It's like again, Hitler was on. There was someone who, like, for example, like there's a disease that ravages mankind in the future, and they find that there's a way of maybe a cure for it, but they're too late to synthesize the cure, and mankind's going to be dead. And it turns out that research existed, but in some Jewish scientists that died during the Holocaust, and as a result, they need to go back and right, like that's one way to be cool, so that we save ourselves now. Why now? It's because we save ourselves now because there was something in World War II that was important.
Okay, here we go. If you were to do something like that, you could do that there is this like failsafe that was a Nazi failsafe for the final solution, and it's a genetic virus or some super virus, and they installed it like some, I don't know how they did this, but it's like they have some gizmo that like in 100 years this virus is going to activate and purge 90% of the world's population and leave only the Aryan bloodline, or that was their crazy idea. It won't even work. It'll just wipe everybody out,
right?
And the only way I don't know why they're like the only way to stop this is to go back in time and kill Hitler when he's 7, but like that's the only way to do it.
Yes, that's the only way to do it.
So that's when he gets.
Can I just throw another thing in there that's not going to help us? But I will say this: the character Madeline in the Madeline books,
God,
is indeed 7 years old. Was written in 1939 originally.
Go on.
And was in Paris. And she was considered the smallest yet bravest of the 12 girls at the boarding school.
Oh, my God.
So all I'm saying is that I'm just, you know, not that we've come close to solving this, but like if we could somehow just pull a double break
into a Madeline reboot. So in that version, Madeline would be in the 19... What? Okay, so she's 7 in 1939, so 20 years later, she is in 1969.
Okay, bear with me.
1950, okay.
How much more badass would Christopher Robin been if it was like, if this was like, hey, why don't you hear the story about how Ludwig Bellman's, you want to hear the true story about how Madeline came to be? A young girl showed up at his doorstep in 1939 for a boarding school, and Madeline's actually this girl that came from the future to kill Hitler. And then she's lost, and then she gets caught in this boarding school by this guy, and then eventually she tells him, "It's like, I'm actually here to kill Hitler." He's like, "Well, I'm going to write a series of books about you, but I'm going to leave that part out."
Okay, all right.
I'm going to leave that part out. The craziest, most interesting.
I'm going to mostly have you, like, go to parades and stuff.
Okay, all right, all right.
Not a fan of the Madeline books?
No, that's like what they are. No, man. My parents read me Madeline.
What does she do with Madeline?
They're just like nice, charming books.
You would never thought.
Madeline learns to be polite. Madeline travels to the zoo and meets animals. They're kids' books.
Madeline kills Hitler. Madeline kills Hitler.
Okay, ignoring all that.
Ignore all that. Why now? Because they have to. Just keep going.
Fair. She shows up. She's 7 years old.
She shows up. She's seven years old.
It is summer of 1942.
And she's got to work her way. She's got to infiltrate the German girls group. Is that what it was called?
Yes. So she is a little young for it, but the League of German Girls, the BDM, Bund Deutscher Mädel, the German wing of the Nazi Party Youth Movement and the Hitler Youth, the only legal female youth organization in Nazi Germany. I guess there wasn't any...
tell you where they weren't really big on gender equality in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, dang right.
Do you know what's the problem with this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is I don't know anything about Germany in 1940s. It's like, okay, so there's still school? Like, is she like...
I think we need to scale... Okay, we need to rate... I'm just trying to like... Because I'm also putting everything aside in terms of that... Because here's the problem with time travel. You get so seduced by the whys and wherefores of the plot.
Yeah.
That I'm like, what is this movie about? Who are the characters? I mean, like, 20 minutes left, we're like, oh, what's it about? Like, because you could do, bear with me for a second, you could do, she shows up and she's got to recruit, like, it's none of the adults will take her seriously, right? Because the French Resistance is like, this kid's a nut, like, we don't want to deal with her. Like, you know, like, she has to team up with, like, other kids in Germany to pull off this plan to kill
So I like
Hitler.
Having the idea of a summer camp sort of thing. And so historical accuracy to aside for a moment, like the idea of having a contained location for this, because the sprawling nature of this is just, I think, too much for us to get a handle on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It should be like the summer camp. It's like, you know, I mean, like it's what you were talking about. It's like there's a summer camp thing. And yes, we're just going to just ignore the historical context for
a second.
But
I'm assuming generals and people had, like, again, I'm assuming like, people had families. Like, I mean, I don't know much about World War II, but like, I know during the Revolutionary War and Civil War, like, generals often brought their families with them sometimes. Like, sometimes they would stay home. Other times, like, hey, I haven't seen my husband for 2 years. The family's going to caravan with the army, just be behind the front line, essentially. So, like, you could do that. Yes, there is. When people move across Germany, it's like the generals have their kids and their wives are at home, and they're, you know, it's not like the kids stop learning. And, like, she has to infiltrate this group of, you know, top brass families, right? Like, that's where you want to be close to Hitler. So you try to get into the... You try to become friends with, like, Goebbels' kids, right?
Yes, yes. And they're all little shits.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
See, to your point, the seduction of all the pulpy stuff, the other hard thing is that it's easy to get, like, seduced with the idea. It's like, well, of course, they got to kill Hitler.
Yeah.
But then it's like... But again, like, what's it about? It's like, what does this mean for Madeline? Which is why, like, whether... It's not about what... Like, what the MacGuffin actually is, it's like the why now helps you. Like, why?
Yes.
Honestly, anybody would go back in time and be like, yes, the stakes are you got to kill Hitler because Hitler was evil. But, like, why does it matter to this character? Because what's the journey she's going to go on? Like, is she desperate? Is this an insane idea? Is this just like her job? And then she's just a professional and she's like, whatever I need to do. And then she realizes how important it is, which seems stupid. Or it's like an obsession. And, like, everybody's like, this is crazy. You could destroy all time and space if you do this. She's like, whatever. It needs to be done. Like, it's like, what's the, that's what I mean. It's like, you need like the end.
Yeah, no. You're right. You need to uncork that premise a little bit.
So that you know, who this Madeline character is.
Okay.
Because, like, once you have that, it's like, yes, it's like the specifics of, like, how she's infiltrating and who she's infiltrating and, like, you know, what's the, you know, does it all lead up to a, you know, it's Christmas Eve 1942 and the kids are, there's gonna be like a child choir that's gonna sing, you know, for the Christmas party. There's all stuff you can do, but it's just like, who is this character and why does, like, what's happening?
Okay, so you do this. You do that. We're in, let's say, like, you make it, we're in Tel Aviv, and we're, like, with, like, the Mossad. When did the Mossad get invented? I don't know. Forget it. There's, like, you're with this group of people in the 60s or 70s, and they, out of nowhere, Nazis from the future attack, like, this town. They hit this, you know, whether it's a yeshiva or it's like a, they attack a Jewish community in Israel or something like that. And they're like, what the fuck? These guys are future Nazis? We got rid of the Nazis. What the hell's going on? And then, like, they capture this guy or they down, like, he's got some robot thing in his brain and they're able to kind of fiddle with it and get the information. They're like, holy shit, back in the day, fucking Nazis had a secret time travel contingency and hit out in the future and now they've come back in time. Right. And they're going to, and it's like, well, what were they doing? Why are they trying to hit us? Like, what's going on? And they're like, I don't know, but we've got access to their future, to their time traveling technology. This is our chance. This is our chance to rewrite history, to get back, to stop the Holocaust from happening, to blah, 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 blah. So we've got to go send one of ours back in time to kill Hitler. Right?
I like the idea that we don't have time travel technology. The why now is that time traveling Nazis showed up.
Yes.
And they fought them off, and then, like, the machine sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's, like, fading even or something.
Yeah. And, like, we have one chance.
It also explains why there's a glitch because they don't know how to use it.
Okay. So, yeah, they send Madeline, who is a.
Or Madeline just runs in there and she's like, I'm going in. They're like, well, you don't know what the hell you're going to do. You could upset the whole. Everything. She's like, it's the risk worth taking. I gotta go.
Yeah, yeah. So then she goes back in time to kill Hitler, right? Okay. And they think they've set it up so that they're gonna go kill Hitler when he's seven, but bad news, you're seven. And so then she shows up and she's like, oh, I gotta find it, like, the only way back, whatever, right? But, like, that is, like, a spark that I'm like, because then you would do that, really, the future Nazis showed up because Madeline is the one who kills Hitler. They were here to hit her because to stop her from doing what she's about to do right now.
Dang.
And then what you do is there's like you're cross cutting to like the year 2024 or whatever. I guess it'd be more like current time, but whatever. So you cut to you're cross cutting because the Nazis are coming back and they're like her friends back in the future are like protecting the time travel machine, because if it blows up, she's stuck there or whatever, or she'll disappear.
Oh, yeah, be great.
And then what you do is all the just at the end of the movie, like, she's about to kill Hitler, and then the Nazis surround our guys, they're about to die, and then who shows up? 95-year-old Madeline, who comes in and is like, "Don't worry, boys, I'm here," and she shoots them all, and you realize that she succeeded and she lived her life and she knows exactly what's gonna happen here. So she shows
up. Oh, damn.
So she shows up at a 95-year-old.
Oh, to stop them from
destroying the machine that was going to stop her from killing Hitler. Yeah.
So then, but does she not kill Hitler?
I guess in this version, she would kill Hitler. This would be like
No. Because essentially, because here's what I would do then. I would do that the choice she has at the end is she knows how she can kill Hitler, but it's going to be a suicide mission.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, shit. That's it. All time travel getting you again, because it'd be like, but then she's going to die, so then she won't be able to save her friends. But then, like, but if she killed Hitler, like, the timeline would be different. Who knows?
It always comes back to the discussion, like, but if you did kill Hitler, maybe things would be worse after the fact. It's like, this just gets into, like, a weird...
Again, kill Hitler. All right. Yeah, painting you into the... But then I don't think you can do the 95-year-old version of her.
No, that's part of the... In order for her to kill Hitler, she stops... That's what I'm saying, is that she stops the future Nazis from... She not only kills Hitler, but... Her 90-year-old self stops the future Nazis from her.
But here's my question.
I know you're about to pull some time travel logic. I'm ahead of you. We're just going to ignore it, though.
And also, she's awesome? Because her whole life, she's been fighting off future assassins.
Oh, yeah. You know, here's what you do. This is it. This is very cool. You do that because they're defending the machine, right? Because mm-hmm. they're like, this is the way out. You know, like, mm-hmm. we've got it for her to bring her back. And then you do that, or whatever. They gotta defend it for some reason. Whatever you're gonna do. If it blows up, whatever. You do that, like, the machine has, like, an electromagnetic field that has, like, a time bubble, right? So the people defending the machine in the room are in this bubble, and the outside world is changed. The outside world is getting get rewritten by what she does. So bear with me. You get to that moment where they're all about to die, and the 95-year-old Madeline comes in and blows away the bad guys, right? And it's like, hey, check it out. Like, fucking, come check this shit out.
I lived, motherfuckers.
They turn the machine off. They go out of the room, and they're in this world where Hitler never got, where Hitler got killed, and she finished her mission. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do.
Like, you just set up a time. And here's the thing. Here's the best part. When she sees herself, she's like, it's... Yeah, like, I like the idea of this. I don't even know how you get this, but she sees herself in the future, whatever, right? And so, oh no, she can't meet herself. I love the idea of, like, at one point they meet each other, like 95 herself, and then, like, her as a younger, and then she, like, looks at herself. It's like, it's me from the future, come from the past to save myself. And, like, whoa, you shouldn't, like, it's a temporal anomaly. Like, fuck that. And then they predator slam regardless. I'm like, fuck temporal anomalies. This shit's awesome.
Okay, I think I have Madeline's character.
Okay, go for it.
Bear with me. Okay, so you're
20. How much time do we have left?
We have
-7
minutes. We only need 1 minute because I'm about to solve this thing right here.
We have 15 minutes
this
remaining.
This is the year 2024, and your Madeline is essentially...
2021.
Is 20 what?
2021.
Okay, it was 2021. Your Madeline is essentially like a Chidi from Good Place. Okay. And she teaches a class called Would You Kill Hitler? She's a philosopher, and she spent her whole life thinking about the tough philosophical, the tough moral problem of whether or not you would kill Hitler. She has a whole class around it, and gets into all these meta-philosophy and all this sort of stuff. That's what she deals with all day. She thinks about it. She brings up that question, like, would you actually kill? Maybe things would be worse. And all of a sudden, the FBI come, and they're like, we need you. It's like, we got something important. She's like, what? It's like, we hear you're an expert on the question as to whether or not it would be good to kill Hitler.
What could you possibly need me for?
So they bring her in, and they're like, what could you possibly need me for? I'm just a moral philosophy.
I'm just an analyst.
I'm just a moral philosophy student. It's like, we need to send somebody back in time to kill Hitler, but we don't want to be coy about it. We need somebody who's an ex. We need somebody to scout it out and realize, would it be good to kill Hitler? And I was like, but I can't do that. I'm just a philosopher. I'm not somebody who was willing to put a gun to his head. It's like, there's nobody better than you to do it. So now she's dealing with a moral quandary that she's just been philosophizing about this whole time, but now she's got to take action.
And she's 7.
And she, well, then she turns 7 with her.
That was the unplanned part.
Okay.
That was the unplanned part.
Why don't you just do this thing that.
That also changes her whole equation. She's like, oh, but now I'm a 7-year-old. Like, is it worse if a 7-year-old kills Hitler versus, like, because I could say that, like, I don't know the. Anyways, what were you going
to
say?
Okay. Are we still doing that the Nazis come from the future to attack her? Is that still part of the equation?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go with it.
I don't know.
That's why they need her.
I'm just trying to give her an arc.
Okay, so, all right. Well, let's walk through. through what we have, right? Okay. Let's try to hold this. Like, I feel like we got like a big old pile of mashed potatoes here. Let's try to sculpt it into the shape of a movie. We've got our whether she yeah, okay, she's a moral philosophy
who
professor.
Won't even hurt a fly.
Won't even hurt a fly, literally right? She and then she's giving this lecture, yes. Right? And in the middle of the lecture, future Nazis attack her?
No, I would do future Nazis have attacked. Maybe she's been seeing weird stuff. Like she almost got hit by a car and all this other stuff. And then, yes, future Nazis attack her. And then
they just can't figure out how. Oh, and
then the time squad saves her. They try to run. Like, who the hell is that? And she's like, they're future Nazis and we have a problem.
They try to run her over, but they can't. Because they're still non-self-driving cars, and they've only learned on like self-driving cars in the future. And they're like, I don't understand this. And she narrowly escapes because technology sucks right now.
But then I like that even the idea that future Nazis are coming after her makes her like question again very GDS. She's like, well, then I must have maybe in the past I already did kill Hitler. So like, would it be morally problematic if I didn't kill Hitler, even though they came back in time to kill Hitler? Would I be saving myself and all this stuff?
Okay. All right. So in that case, I would do yes. You have her legs. Yes, she's on her way to her lecture. She almost gets hit by six separate cars. And then she's in the lecture, and then in the middle of the lecture, the fucking door busts down.
And it just doesn't bust down. How good is it to be talking about whether or not you should kill Hitler in the past? And she looks up, and a strange man in a Nazi uniform just steps in and eyes her, and then another door opens, and another guy comes in, and they just start slowly surrounding the room. And she's like, are these Nazis showing up to my lecture?
Well, yeah, so essentially what I was going to say was is that you would do the door busts down, and it's this Mossad agent, right? Mm. And it's this guy who's like, with a team, right? Mm-hmm. And because they've been there's been whispers of these future Hitlers, future Nazis trying to, you know, fuck with the timeline, essentially. And then they realize they're targeting her. So they essentially come in, and then right as these gun-toting future Nazis show up to kill her, and that's they're there to capture that time machine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Because
they're like, aha, we've been trying to catch these guys in the app, but they always slip out. So then they're able to get the time machine, and they're like, and then it's like, they've been targeting you for some reason. And it's like, well, I'm an expert in this thing. It's like, I think we know what, like, you know what I mean? It's like, they're like, you got to go back. You've got to do this mission.
That's fun. Because I also like the idea you could get a little bit of like the Armageddon type thing, but this time do philosopher versus like, you know, super Marines. They're like, we just got to go back in time and shoot Hitler. They're like, we don't need soldiers. We need a philosopher.
Wouldn't it be easier to train a soldier moral philosophy?
Okay, here would be my thought, though. My only thing I'm bumping on with the character's core conflict being not knowing whether she wants to kill Hitler is I'm like, is that really what you want to build?
Yeah.
Well, is that really what you want to build the dramatic structure of this movie around? Is like her being like, should I? Maybe I should. No, I guess I shouldn't. Should I? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like,
I agree.
I think you're better off with someone's like, the Holocaust sucked. I want to stop that from happening.
Well, I don't think she doesn't think the Holocaust.
I know, but it's like is there an inherent lack of urgency?
She's not the main character.
Yeah, yeah.
He would be a side character.
She
teaches a class called Should You Kill Hitler? Yes, that's the name of the class.
And over the course of these 12 weeks, we're going to conclude yes.
I mean, sure, then I guess it's somebody who wants to kill Hitler, and then it's just this, the tension is, you know, it's that
they get to?
Valkyrie. Are they going to kill Hitler or not?
Yeah.
And it's like you got those, it's like Apollo 13, and it's like, she's walking into the time portal.
Yeah, but I'm again, I'm
like, is mom going to come back? 10, 9, we don't know. She's so brave. Let's look at the news report about
don't this. Don't want to lose my eyes.
Okay.
Don't worry, so the way time travel works is the moment I step into this portal, you'll know whether or not I succeeded. She just steps in, and then the moment this should be the whole movie. She steps in the portal, and instantly Nazi insignia just appear everywhere. She's like, well, your mom really fucked it up.
Oh, that's fun. You've never seen a movie from the perspective of outside the time portal. That's a fun short. That's a really fun short.
Yeah, instead of traveling with her in the past, the person steps into the portal and
he just
sees
instantly. He's just like, well, that didn't work.
Look, I don't know how interesting. At a certain point, like, the moral quandary would be, she's like, of course I gotta go kill Hitler. Like, how?
Oh, no, okay, all right. No. It works. Because essentially what you do is this, is that she goes, again, this, it's all well and good for a professor in the future to pontificate as to whether or not she should kill this guy in the past, right? But then she goes back to the past, and now the past is her present, and she's face-to-face with the brutality of the Nazi regime, and she's like, yes, it might be unethical for someone in the future to go back and change the past, but this is the present now. The present is 1942, and this man is a monster, and I need to stop him. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's okay. There's a moral argument to be, or I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, no.
All right, but, all right, so let's go with the Athos.
She convinces herself that it's okay to kill Hitler, yeah. And then she kills Hitler. That's the act structure. Act one, is it okay to kill Hitler? Then act two.
No, because the moral question she would get to is like, is it okay to kill these 3 7-year-old friends of mine to kill Hitler? Like, right, this would get like, if you're going to kill Hitler, this is going to be a dirty movie. This is going to be some gnarly, gory. I mean, we're talking about War II.
Oh, yeah, or it's like, you're like, yeah. Army of Shadows gets into this stuff, yeah. Really well. Like, we're an Army of Shadows. It's like, again, it's like the resistance. The beginning of the movie is the French resistance, like,
killing their own person.
Well, yeah, like, it's all that question of, like, how far will you go, yeah, essentially. Right. So, okay, so she's back in time. She's a 7-year-old. She's got to infiltrate the German girls group, the League of German Girls, to at Nazi summer camp. To, yep. Because Hitler's going to show up in the end and give a little medal to whoever wins there's like a Nazi decathlon.
The prom you know king, I mean? Like, and the like prom king and the prom queen.
Yes, there's going to be, there's this camp, there's a series of games and trials, and whoever wins the trials, the lead boy and the lead girl are going to get an audience with Adolf Hitler, right? And that's the moment, like, that you're going to.
Yeah, I mean, there's those famous pictures, they had big general, like literally there's a picture with Hitler and Santa Clauses. They had Christmas parties with all the generals and stuff.
That
is like, just look, if you Google, it's just tons of pictures of them. And of course they had like kids singing and stuff like that. So yeah, I would do, and around Christmas, this could be a good ass Christmas movie. Nobody's gonna question. It's not gonna be like, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? It's gonna be like, is the Kill Hitler movie a Christmas movie? Yes, it is, because she kills Hitler.
Okay, so now it's a Christmas movie.
It just gives you. It could be prom or it's a Christmas.
It's a good line.
It's more specifically about, I'm trying to, like, what is the world you're containing this in?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what is this?
Like, it's gotta be a camp. It's gotta be like a.
Like, is there a camp? Is there like, so it's like a winter retreat camp?
Sure.
Is that what we're saying, or are we doing that? This is like are we saying it's Hitler Youth, or are we saying it's the sons and daughters of, like, the generals and the Nazi high command?
I think that's the most tension, because then the people she's hanging out with is not just, like, Hitler Youth. It's, like, she, right, then even the first question's difficult. Like, how do you get in with these generals' kids?
Okay.
Like, you have to become a friend, and they're going to be like, hey, can we go to your parents' house? Where's your parents' house? She doesn't have one.
Oh, so she bluffs that she, okay, you would do that. Like, she bluffs that she is the daughter of, like, a German soldier, yes, who got killed during the war,
yes,
right? And she gets this family to take pity on her,
yes,
and bring them into her home, right? Because it's like, oh, this beautiful Aryan girl without a home or whatever, like, we'll take her in. And so now she's like undercover in this Nazi family, essentially.
Yes.
And it's the guy, you know, like the guy is a, you know, in, you know, either the propaganda administration, mm-hmm, or like whatever. But so then now they're going to the parties. She's trying to figure out, like, you know, like what the angle is, essentially. Who's she working with? Like that. But again, this feels like your act two, essentially, right?
Yeah. She probably becomes friends with her great great grandfather, who she knows dies during the war. So then you have this moral moment where she has a chance to save her own grandfather. Like, she's got some intel that could save her grandfather. She realizes, like, her, you know, foster Nazi dad is talking. He's like, oh, that U-boat's going to shoot down that boat. She's like, wait a second, that's the boat that my grandfather died on. And is she going to blow her cover in order to save her grandfather, who's been her partner during this time, to help kill Hitler?
That, oh, you know, it could be interesting as you do that, she does save him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what alerts,
yeah,
the future Nazis to what's going on. And then now they show up in World War II to try to hunt her down. But they're looking for, they're not looking for a 7-year-old version of her. So they got to figure out what's going on or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. She means, I like her having, like, finding a relative.
Okay. So I like her finding a relative.
5 minutes left.
Oh, okay. 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 This is good. She had, okay. All right. Now we got a movie. Her great, great grandfather was a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
He was a con artist who worked in, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, back in the day, like, he was like a bullshit artist who did X, Y, and Z, and, you know, kind of like the black sheep of the family or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you don't make it her literal grandfather, because it would be like, if he dies, is she going to die? Uncle, whatever, relative.
Well, no, the grandfather already had a kid.
Okay, so he abandoned his family,
yes,
though. He ran,
yes,
away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she tracks him down and is like, you got to help me, right?
Yeah.
And so then he bluffs as the father to, mm-hmm, the, like, he impersonates a Nazi officer, mm-hmm, to get into this, like, sort of world, essentially. And it's just so for him, it's a heroism arc, right? Where he's this self-interested, amoral, kind of like John Malkovich in Empire of the Sun type guy.
Yes.
And so it's the two of them working their, and so act, so essentially, Act One is set in the future, and she's giving her Hitler lecture, and then the space Nazis show up. The future Nazis show up to kill her, and they're like, the future Nazis want to kill, we got to send you back in time to kill Hitler to stop them from getting time travel technology or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, I'll do it. And then they zap her back in time, and odd nards, I'm 7. Hitler is at the height of his power. What the heck is going on, right? So then act two is she is now on the streets of Nazi-occupied Berlin as a seven-year-old with, you know, in weird future clothing, sticking out like a sore thumb, trying to figure out what's going on.
Maybe she's Asian. They're like, why did we do this? This was a mistake.
But I like you could do, first thing you do is that, like, there's a, like, a kind store owner takes her in, mm-hmm. right? And she's hiding under his store with, like, a Jewish family or something.
I was
going
to say kind, but it's kind because they're like, oh, you're a good Aryan girl. And she's like, oh, this guy's an asshole.
Yeah. Or something like, yeah. But it's like, but I was going to say, like, you know, like she, so she's able to get, I was going to say, like, you make it someone who's with a, like a Jewish family or something like that, mm-hmm. that they're hiding. So like she's getting like, she's got like a, I don't know, like she, it gives you the stakes, like they might get found out later or something mm-hmm. like that. But it shows you like she has someone who can help her, you know, blend in and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, and knows that she shouldn't be here. Maybe they don't know exactly what's going on, but like the, anyway. She gets in touch with her. She realizes that her grandfather, who was a reprobate con artist, is should be in Berlin at this time, and maybe she can get him to help her, mm-hmm. right? Because yes. She needs to infiltrate. She needs to kill Hitler, and she needs to kill him pronto, right? Because it's like the there's like so much time before she can
Well, there's a window, and things the war is going to change, and
because you could do like it's a baker, and then they're like, and then Goebbels' kid Helga shows up, and is like, my dad wants some yummy bread, and they're like, oh man, that Goebbels' kid's brat. She's like, Goebbels' kid, so she's like, I gotta go become friends with Helga. I feel a little bad because there's this little picture of Helga, and we're talking about her, but you know, whatever. She was Goebbels' kid, so
okay.
But she makes friends when she gets into that world of
okay. All right, so act two is that, essentially. She finds she's going to team up with her grandfather to infiltrate Nazi high command because there's this winter retreat they all go on. Mm-hmm. And once they're there, Hitler's going to show up, and then she can get in and kill him, right?
Yes.
Or something like that. So then act three would be essentially seeing that happen, would be like the tension of building up to that. And then, like, your complications are, like, oh, finding out that her grandfather is going to get killed, right? Like, mm-hmm.
Yes.
And wanting to warn him and then saving, you know, like, at first she hates this guy because he's, like, the black sheep of the family, but they come to bond, they bond with each other and she saves his life. And now, like, the space Nazis have detected this anomaly and they're coming back to hunt her down because they're like, oh, shit, someone's getting very close to killing Hitler.
It's going to be a fucked up movie, by the way, because I'm just, sorry, this is really affecting me because I'm looking at all these pictures of, like, Helga and Hitler. And it's like, Helga was Hitler's favorite little girl, and it's just like this, and she was seven, she would have been seven or seven and a half or eight at the time we're talking mm-hmm. about. There's lots of pictures of Hitler with, like, Helga in, like, there's a Christmas outfit and shit. It's like, this would have been the girl to cozy up with to get close to Hitler.
But it's like, yes, you would do that, she'd be friends, and maybe maybe you fictionalize it so you're not, you know, I don't know. Like, you don't necessarily have to make it this actual girl, but you yeah. do that, like, she befriends this girl, right? I like yes. that is the other angle of it. So it's her and her grandfather, and then she befriends this girl. And where does that go? Like, what?
2 minute warning.
Two minute warning. Yep. Okay. All right.
She's got to win a philosophy contest in order to give us more morality talk at a Hitler.
All right, so you've got her uncle, you've got her grandfather, you've got this other kid, right? And then you've got the, you know, maybe the people protecting the time machine back in the future. And I guess her arc is going from being this person questioning the morality of this to, like, every step is, like, more and more pot committed to doing this thing, mm. right? And then she gets there. I mean, it's gotta, you gotta,
the question here would be, like, the tough moral question would be, like, she realizes she can kill Hitler if she kills Helga. And it's like, well, she's like, if I don't kill Hitler, Helga does die anyway. She gets poisoned by her own parents in this bunker. So is it wrong for me to kill? Because always one thing to be like, would you kill Hitler? The answer is yes, but would you kill another seven-year-old girl?
Well, what's interesting
to kill Hitler?
What's
and then you could rationalize it yourself, being like, she's going to die anyways if I don't do this. It's a trolley
problem.
It's
not bad.
It's like,
that's
if,
not
I don't
a bad,
have,
yeah.
if I don't okay. do anything, she dies.
Okay, so here's what you would do. She, by saving her grandfather, she blows the plan, right? Yeah. Something goes wrong. The space Nazis show up and like, you know, Hitler gets moved to a secure bunker, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, but she, by luck, gets swept up into the secure bunker with Hitler. Like, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, like, history's already starting to divert from itself,
yeah.
right? And she realizes, yes, you would do, the only way to kill Hitler is by killing Helga,
yes.
right? Like, it's going to mean, like, I don't know what exactly
yeah,
it'll
something
mean.
She realizes it's a moment, right? That
yeah,
would almost
yeah.
be like the end. It's like, Helga looks up at her and be like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And seven's a good age because, like, you can't, it's like, she's too, you can't blame her.
Well,
like,
and it's interesting, too,
because she doesn't know anything.
For us, because she more or less has gotten off the hook of her philosophical problem
yeah.
because back when it's like, would you kill Hitler as a baby? Like, the whole dilemma is Hitler's a baby. He hasn't done anything yet, right? Like, that's a big part of why that's a problem. So when she gets sent back and Hitler's at the height of his power, it's actually easier for her to justify it.
That's true. Of course
it.
You'd kill Hitler.
Yeah. So the, but now she is essentially faced with that same dilemma of killing an innocent person to stop Hitler. It just, you know, it's this girl as opposed to, so does she do it? Like, what does she do? Does she murder? She that's should, the, right? I mean, yeah. Like
she's that, about to, and then she looks and there's a top spinning. Okay. This is how you do it. You don't actually see. Like, okay, bear with me. This is I'm gonna try to save this to not be dark. She's about to kill Helga. Helga looks at her and you're like, oh my god, is she gonna do it? And then you cut back to the future time. And then the future Nazis are attacking, the machine is gonna blow up any second. She's gotta make a decision soon because the time portal's about to close or whatever. And then it cuts to her in the room with Hitler and you're like, oh, she did it. Mm-hmm. They're just they're being tasteful. They're not showing us her kill Helga. When she shows up as a 95-year-old, who else is a 95-year-old with her?
Is Helga?
Helga. These two old ass ladies come in and she's like, I didn't kill her. She's my partner now. they kill Hitler together, and her and Helga, it's like she also saved the soul of a 7-year-old Nazi as well. And it's also a lesson that, like, you know, if she wasn't raised by Goebbels, maybe she would have been a good person.
That's time.
All right, we'll think about it. We'll pitch an ending in the elevator pitch.
Yes, when we return.
It's new promo time, James.
Ooh, what you got, Aneke?
How about this? You need more black friends, Minority Corner, every Friday.
Okay, but girl, that doesn't say anything about how we're a podcast that talks about queer issues, race, politics, and pop culture.
Now it does, because I've already hit record.
Oh, girl, you so sneaky, you be Linda tripping me.
Minority Corner.
Learn, laugh, and play.
All from a perspective that's black, queer, and ladylike.
Because nobody puts minorities in the corner.
Every Friday.
Okay, hold on. All right, rolling. Matt, give me some levels, please.
Levels. Will?
Testing, 1, 2. You guys want to do the Hitler episode idea for this one?
That's what you said.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling pretty excited. I think it's a fun
Look,
idea.
I said Blood Bowl or that, and you want to do your Hitler thing.
I have a good way of introing this. Okay,
go ahead.
The Blood Bowl one? Or?
No. We'll do the Hitler one.
Hitler. Okay.
All right, 3, 2. Willkommen, meine Damen und Herren, bei Storybreak, ein Podcast, in dem drei Hollywood-Profis eine Stunde Zeit haben aus einer bescheidenen Idee. Einen großartigen Film zu machen. Ich bin ein Filmregisseur, Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos, and I'm very...
Oh my god, what the hell is going on? What is... There's another... Will? There's two Will!
Guys, it's me, Will, from the future.
How far in the future, Will?
About 1 hour in the future.
Oh, so you can't tell us any cool things that happened.
No, I can tell you one very important thing. This episode turns out terribly, and I have to stop
man.
You from doing this episode of Story Break. The end of this episode was so bad that Matt and I got into a really big fight, and then I ran away and invented a time machine to stop us from pitching it.
I have a lot of questions. Like, did you invent that time machine? Because you say you're 1 hour from now. So that's did we stop the episode 30 minutes in and you invented a time machine in 30 minutes?
I guess he must have been already close.
What happened to the Will on the floor? Is he going to merge with you in 1 hour?
It's problematic questions like these that we're ultimately...
Of course, then we're just going to get stuck. How do I still think this is a good idea? Let's hear... Why don't you tell us how the episode turned down, then we'll decide if we should still do it. Because I feel like this is a good... I felt like this was a good episode.
Like we're running out of time. The time vortex is going to collapse. I only have so much time to convince you to not do this
episode. That's the sort of ticking clock stuff that sounds like it'd be great for the episode, though.
At any rate, the story wound up being about a girl from the future who debates whether it's okay to kill Hitler, and then space Nazis from even further in the future show up.
Whoa.
To stop her from going back in time to kill Hitler. And then she uses their time machine, along with like some help from some Mossad agents, to go back in time to kill Hitler as a 7-year-old. Only she shows up as a 7-year-old. And then it's like this whole thing where like she meets her old old grandfather and he's like a criminal, and she and him infiltrate Nazi high command, and she befriends the daughter of one of the generals that is like, you know, Hitler's favorite, like, you know, Hitler's sort of like
which net, general
I can't remember. Matt was talking about that and I just kind of tuned
well,
it out.
It'd probably be Goebbels.
I think it was, yeah, something like that. Anyway, it sounded all pretty intriguing.
You see that
intriguing.
Movie where they killed him at the bunker?
Downfall.
Guys, there's no time.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Yeah.
He's
fading away. Oh no. Anyway, the ending turned out kind of like a wet blanket because we got to a really interesting idea about how, like, would she kill this other innocent 7-year-old girl to kill Hitler? And then Matt's idea for, like, what to do with that was to do, like, this bullshit cop-out where you cut away from it and you don't see what happened. And then at the end, like, it turns out that it's a 95-year-old her and the 95-year-old version of the other girl, and she didn't kill her, but they managed to save the day. It was
ideas.
Got any great ideas?
That was wild. Hold on. Present Will is still... Hold on. Give me 1 second here. All right. He had 20 bucks. Don't say anything.
Oh, what happened, guys? Oh, my God.
You're not
going
to believe this.
Don't.
What happened? All I remember is there was
What happened is that we decided that we're going to do Blood Bowl.
Oh, okay. Blood Bowl.
All right, I guess we'll do Blood Bowl this week. Whoa. The table's shaking. The time is lapsing back up on itself. We're catching back up with the present. All right, guys, so that was the Blood Bowl episode. I hope you really enjoyed Blood Bowl this week.
That was a crazy episode.
That was maybe our best episode.
Easily our best episode.
It's definitely like the best since Jar Jar.
Yeah. I would watch the shit out of that Blood Bowl movie. John Leguizamo as the quarterback for the Elves. Like, that was a brilliant bit of chaos.
I'm actually submitting this to the Nobel Committee because I think some of the things that we said here could really solve some of the problems that the world is facing today.
I can't believe we balanced the budget as part of breaking the story.
I'm sorry if I was a little bit like not part of that.
I think as great as that bit was, we should see what art did we get from last week.
Oh, we got a lot of really, really amazing art as always on our Rocket Jump Twitter.
Well, this one especially so because I think people like drawing kangaroos.
We got a ton of great fan art this week from actually a bunch of different episodes. Nick Cornick blessed us with 4 separate posters for Frasier, but he's a cop now. So a mad shout out to Nick Cornick. They were all fucking incredible.
See, Nick gets me. He heard my good ideas and I was like, that's what I need to do fan art.
My favorite of the taglines was definitely no crime is too tossed, no criminal too scrambled. We got an incredible little couple pages of a comic book for Heaven Heist from 8.
That was incredible.
It was really, really, really good. Just like the opening of Heaven Heist, it's like kind of cross-cutting between Freddy and Jimmy as kids and the car accident in the future. It was awesome, so thanks to 8 for that.
We are going
to
be going after her, though, because that was our copyright and that was an unsolicited piece of fan art, but that's okay. We appreciate it anyways.
Amy Johnston and Matrim Tate can also expect lawsuits from us in the future for their really, really wonderful hand-drawn Heaven Heist posters. We also got some really adorable art for Kangaroo Plus Tennis, aka Kangaroo Court, the title we should have given it, from Missing Cart and Josh Plum. And it was like, once I saw these, I was like, oh my God, of course this should have been an animated movie. I do not know what we were thinking. Finally, a special shout out to Dread Tower for sending us an incredible poster for Binks, A Star Wars Story with the tagline, General, Senator, Traitor, Friend, which it looks like a really, really legit poster. So thanks as always to everyone who submitted stuff. And thanks to everyone who's been leaving us reviews on iTunes. That really helps us out. And this is the part where Freddie thanks Cameron. So go ahead, Freddie.
Thank you, Cameron Covell, for slicing and dicing these episodes. You can follow us on at RJ Storybrick as well as MaximumFun.org for having us on the podcast network.
Does Cam know that thanks is from all of us?
Oh, you should clarify that.
Cameron, also thank you from me and Matt.
Cam, yes, I agree with Will.
Very good.
Also thank you, Cam.
So, that'll do it for us this week. This very weird, timey-wimey episode. How do we get through the whole episode without saying that? Till next time, time
is
Cameron's
job.
Blood Bowl.
See you later. Bye.
Hi, I'm Paula Poundstone.
And I'm Adam Felber.
Adam, I haven't gotten one thing done today.
Well, let me see your to-do list. Ah, yeah, well, here. Make 30-second promo for Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, so at least you're getting that done.
Score!
Except you haven't said what the show's about.
We're like a comedy field guide to life, starring me and you. I give useful advice, and we have real experts to talk about things like how to keep a friend, or what to do when you encounter a bear.
Bully for you, but you haven't said where people can find the show.
Oh. MaximumFun.org or where?
So we have been trying to get on Spotify for a while, and we've officially got the podcast on Spotify. So if you have friends who are friends of Spotify, tell them to listen to our show on Spotify because Spotify's cool.
I think what you meant to say is that you've been trying to get on Spotify for a while.
I don't know who this is for.
Clearly, me and Freddie didn't even know we were on. So Will's been doing all the work and got us on Spotify.
We did it, everyone.
We're on Spotify. If you like listening to podcasts on Spotify, check us out on Spotify.
Are there reviews on Spotify?
No, not yet.
Okay, then I don't care.
thanks as well to Cameron Covell, as always, our ace sound editor for making us sound good.
And MaximumFun.org for having us having this very silly show.
You can catch great podcasts on MaximumFun.org, like Story Break.
And Stop Podcasting Yourself, Jordan Jesse Go, Judge John Hodgman, all the McElroy shows.
Freddie, weren't
stuff.
You on a Maximum
Fun
podcast recently?
Yeah, I was on International Waters, which just came out this week, this Labor Day week. So if you want to see, want to hear my goofy insanity, you want more of that, boy,
then,
oh boy,
then what are you waiting for?
Very bad.
Very bad. What are you talking about?
God, two for one. Will, that's my move, doing the same joke twice.
You know what my move is? What's is that? The Garden of Eden.
Hey, you guys hungry? You want to go get something at the Garden of Eden? We're going to go hang out at the Garden of Eden and get some food. We hope you guys had a good time with the podcast this week.
The Garden of Eden break, brought to you by Story Break.
We'll bring it, I mean,
on Spotify.
Freddie, get us out here, Freddie.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. And until next week. Eat
at
wherever
you
are
going.
Okay, goodbye.
Hey there, folks. I'm writer and performer Dave Holmes, and I host International Waters, where we pair a team of comedians in LA against a team of comedians in London in a pop culture trivia battle royale. Comedians like Jimmy Pardo.
My Aunt Pat for Christmas once got me a candelabra, you know, for my collection. And my brother said, I didn't know you collected candelabras. And I went, I do. I now have one.
Bill Dwyer.
Bob Barker's turning over in his almost grave right now.
He's very furious. And many more. Join us every other week on International Waters with me, Dave Holmes. Find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This new Racklin Reavers team sure looks like a bunch of underdogs. No way they can win this game. Oh, they just won the game!
You know, you ain't half bad for an orc.
You know, I think I had you dwarves wrong.
God, I hope nobody realizes I'm the one eating the babies.
Hey, creepy Han Solo. You sort of feel like a brother to me now.
Thanks, kid, for letting me betray you.
Ooh, right in the back! So much treachery!
Our quarterback is now the bad guy's quarterback. Who's gonna be our quarterback?
I am.
There are some things you cannot breed.
Defeat must be absolute. It's not enough to win. Others must fail. Gore Vidal said that.
Oh my god, they're doing the play that killed Eric's brother! Die, human.
Not this human.
Blood Bowl. The New York Times raves it's Mad Max meets Lord of the Rings meets Moneyball meets Seven Samurai. A Story Break picture touching down to a summer near you.
Well, there you have it, folks. A new Story Break experiment sliced and diced by Cameron Covell. The trailer, a little trailer thing. We've been talking about doing something like that for a bit, haven't we?
I really like the trailer, which I have not listened to yet because we recorded this before we saw the finished cut, but I'm assuming it's great.
But you folks at home know for sure whether or not it was just good or merely great. Why don't you tweet at us at RJ Story Break? Do let us know what you think about the new little ending tag. We're trying out some stuff, and that's one of the things that we tried out. We would love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from you, we did hear from you a little bit this week in terms of fan art. Let's hand the mic over to Will.
Hey guys, it's me, Will, again on
and
the
gals.
Podcast and gals
and everybody else.
We got another poster for our time travel Hitler assassination movie from Dane Sager Kelly, who did this very funny, like, it's like Siri is what caused the problem.
I can see
Siri,
that
I want to go back in time and kill Hitler's 7-year-old. It was very good.
I can
so
see that.
Good job, Dane. Really good poster. And then we also got one for Hungry Hungry Hippos from Andrew Young. They're hungry for adventure is the tagline on that one. These are both up on the Rocket Jump Story Break Twitter account. So go check them out there and laugh along in real time.
You know what I tried this week that's actually a lot harder than you think? Try just drawing a hippo right now.
Oh, like the hippo, like
just
the
a
bicycle
hippo.
Test?
Just draw a hippo. I mean, right you now. Have a good idea in your head of what you think it is. Your hands will not do what you want that to do.
I feel like my hippo would look as close to a hippo as my horse would look like to a horse. Like, so, I don't think it's like that much harder than. So not like either of them is the point.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Thank you to MaximumFun.org for having us on their excellent podcast network. Head over to MaximumFun.org and check out all manner of audio-based entertainment that you can fill the void in your lives with, including this show.
I'd also like to thank Yakuza 0 for being the greatest video game of all time that me, Matt, and Freddie are all obsessed with now. So if you haven't played Yakuza 0, go play it. It's great.
Speaking of which, if you want to see me playing Yakuza 0, you can head over to fb.gg, the Facebook streaming site, /rockettojump.com, spelled out D-O-T-C-O-M. That's going to do it for us this week. Thank you again also to Cameron Covell for slicing and dicing these episodes. So until next time, what
is
your
favorite
story break episode? I hope it's this one. Bye, guys.
And rolling.
The news today is terrible, so why not forget about it while listening to Jonah Radio with Cash Hartzell.
Hey, everybody.
Featuring Neil Mahoney.
Also me.
This is a podcast where we play music submitted by a listener. We hang out, we listen to new tunes, and we take submissions at Jonah Radio, R-A-Y-D-I-O, at gmail.com. Come and check us out. We're here anyway.
Yeah, we'll be here.
So, and that's it. Back to your regularly scheduled podcast.